fantastic, setting all types of records. And I know that, you know, they force-fed him the ball. He received a lot of targets, but, you know, he was able to get open and he did something with the ball once he had it. And so for me, Amari Cooper, he's in that Jeremy Maclin type of mold.
Wow.
Where he's, he has speed, he has quickness, he can catch the ball and do something after the catch. And then Kevin White's right behind him. You know, this is a guy that, really was slow last year as a junior when he was coming along, and then as a senior, you could tell he put the work in. It's just hard to find anyone that talks, negatively about him. Just a good kid, hard worker. He's in that Larry Fitzgerald type of mold as a receiver. He's not quite as talented, but, he's that type of receiver. And then Devontae Parker, he's third, but there's not a big gap, between, the top two and then Parker. Parker is in that, you know, tall, linear mold. Just terrific athlete. He goes up and gets the ball. He can stretch the field for his size. But you also mentioned Scherf on the offensive line. This is a player who, in my opinion, is one of the top five players in this draft.
He's
a guard. He's going to be he's going to follow that Zach Martin path where
he played left tackle
in college. Going to kick inside and, you know, moving the guard will really show his strength as a player, and that's as a run blocker. Getting to the second level, just mauling guys out there. And so I think Scherf is a guard. He's number four on my draft board in terms of overall talent.
He's a good one. He's a good one.
Yeah, we're talking Vikings with Dane Brugler, our senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. Dane, do you mind taking a question or two from the peanut gallery?
No, absolutely.
All right. Jake from White Bear has a couple of questions for Dane Brugler. Jake, you're on 105 The Ticket. What do you have?
Hey, I saw that on like the Vikings, .com, they're talking a lot about Landon Collins, and I was wondering if you think that would be too high for him, because I've been seeing him in like mock drafts going around like the high teens.
Dane?
Landon Collins is that top safety in this group. It's the worst safety class we've seen in a couple of years, but Landon Collins is a legitimate first-round pick. He's a strong safety. He's a guy you want in the box, and so that's what I think is going to be the determining factor where he goes. He's not a guy you want dropping in coverage, but I think he would fit what the Vikings might want at a strong safety position, because he can come up and hit you downhill, hits like a missile. There's a lot to like about Landon Collins, but again, he's not someone that you want playing single high and, you know, giving a lot of coverage responsibilities to. So if you're comfortable with him being more of a run downhill defender, then, I think that's a good spot for him. Now, he's going to go somewhere in that first round, and if you need a safety, you better get Landon Collins, because good luck trying to find another one.
Yeah, no kidding. Jake, you had one more question?
And then I was wondering what you thought about maybe trading back up into the first round and going for, like, a Dorrell Green Beckham, who was pretty talented.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about his talent. I think everyone at this point really knows, he has all the off-field baggage. He was kicked out of Missouri, went to Oklahoma last year, hasn't played in over a year, but there's just no questioning the talent at 6'5", 230. The way he's built, the way he can play the game, he can go up and get it, but he can also be a possession guy. Still raw in a few areas, but he's going to go first round because the talent is just off the charts. And where he will be in 3 years is why a team will draft him in the first round. And we've seen the Vikings in the past few years not be shy about, trading up into that late first round to get another player if someone drops. Dorrell Green Beckham, he's one of the wild cards of this first round. Now, you can say that about a lot of these players, but he especially, because at what point do you take a chance on a talent like that, a player that legitimately is a top five, top ten talent, but the baggage is going to force him to fall a little bit. Where does the team take a chance? It's going to be somewhere in the first round, but if he falls into the 20s, outside the top 25, you can't rule it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking like Randy Moss, how he fell to us.
Sure,
kind of reminded me of that same thing.
There's been a few receivers definitely who have fallen, and teams have been able to take advantage of that. Randy Moss, especially in Minnesota.
I agree with all that. I mean, I was just going to say that before our caller did. But Dane Brugler, it's It's fascinating to watch the different posturing in this draft with the different stock value of each of these players in the top 20 going up and down. But that one constant, that one guy that still remains like right in the middle of all this and never really seems to budge that much is Trey Waynes. And that's where their coaches are today with the GM, Spielman, today at Michigan State to look at him and to watch him and interview him. He's a special kid. I've spotted him from a long time ago. In fact, last year in the Rose Bowl, I thought that he and the other guy that came out last year, the one
Darquez Guinard,
was I think they were just amazing. And this kid has that size. He's tall. He's fast. He's 4'3" at combine. You know, 225 pounds in the bench, 21 reps. I mean, this kid is something else.
You've really turned me on to Trey Waynes. But as Dane knows, and you do too, these players go up and down these draft
up
boards.
Up and down.
Like crazy, and the closer you get
that
to the draft.
Question.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The question, my question anyway is, and maybe you have something different, but who is rising the fastest? Who is coming up the charts through that top 20 the fastest and making the most headway, in your opinion?
Yeah, and there's a few guys. There's always are, you know, whether that's based on workouts or maybe a guy that some NFL teams have been high on and, you know, everyone else is just kind of finding out about it now. But, I think Breshad Perryman out of Central Florida, is a player that is going to sneak into that top 20 somewhere. I had a good chance to do that. Now, he's a junior that came out early. He had Blake Bortles as a sophomore, put up okay stats. But he loses Blake Bortles, and then last year as a junior, he had a terrific season, just went off. And so he's an ascending talent. His dad played in the NFL for a lot of years. But I think there's a good chance we see another Central Florida offensive prospect move up the boards. You know, we saw Blake Bortles do it last year. Breshad Perryman, a name to watch. He's, to me, I think there's a good chance he could end up as that number four receiver, you know, the next guy after the top three to come off the board somewhere top 20, top 25.
All right, we're talking to Dane Brugler, the senior draft analyst for the NFL, for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. One more question before we have to let you go. The Vikings are on the clock at number 11. There are three players there. Collins, the tackle from LSU. Let's go Trey Waynes, cornerback Michigan State. Brandon Scherff, Iowa. Four players, or offense, or outside linebacker Shaq Thompson. Which way do they go?
I say they go Waynes, and I think that'll make you guys happy, and I think it'll make a lot of Minnesota fans happy because Waynes is such a great story. Two-star recruit, you know, but he always had the speed, really made himself into something. He freelances a little too much. You know, he'll take chances, but he's just a great prospect, another ascending prospect who is going to be a lot better down the road than he is right now, and he's a really good player right now, so I think Waynes, you know, corners are such a premium position in today's NFL. So if you have a chance to get a really good one, it'll be tough to pass. So if they don't, in my opinion, if they don't go receiver at number 11, I think it'll be Waynes.
Dane Brugler, senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. Thank you so much for all that information and everything that we're wanting to hear from you. You gave us.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Dane.
Thank you. And coming up next, and I hope they don't do a receiver.
No, I hope they don't
do a receiver. That would disappoint me.
Dane's right. Dane, that's the reason why we have him. He's very smart. If the draft class is that deep for wide receivers and running backs, two things that we could use, but it's not one of those needs where it's like, oh my God, it's so glaring. Left guard and cornerback is right behind that, I would say. Linebacker, maybe even safety, but the glaring holes, obviously, up front or in the secondary on the defense.
I know that we're staring down three really good receivers. I hope they don't do that. I think we could get so much more done as a team if we addressed the cornerback issue, even middle linebacker. I don't know about defensive end, though. I really don't. I wish they'd handled that with Mike Johnson if they were going to do that. But anyway, let's get a hold of our friend Jim Rich. He has a little something to say about every sport. He will have plenty to say about the Minnesota Wilds game last night in Nashville against the Predators. They win in overtime 3-2. Let's do that on Radioactive Sports.
Golden Gopher Women's Hockey, one of the most dominant hockey teams of all time, on 105 The Ticket.
Huge save, Lemieux.
The Gophers look to win their third national championship in 4 years.
Otto, she scores!
Minnesota Golden Gopher Women's Hockey, fighting for the national championship again.
First test is against the Wisconsin Badgers. The NCAA National Semifinals, Friday at 5 p.m.
Score! Minnesota wins!
Women's Golden Gopher Hockey, with play-by-play from Dan Hammond on 105 The Ticket.
You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
Who wears short shorts?
I do.
Drunk and stupid is no way to live the
I use Nair.
Hasta la vista. The key moment in that game was that 5-on-3 penalty kill. Even though I would say that it was a very even game up to that point, you know, if we go down 3-1 against that team going in a third, it's a much different challenge. And so that gave us some good momentum and pretty good feeling going in, despite the fact that we were down. And obviously the results proved something.
Mike Hill. Following the big win last night in Nashville, 3-2 in overtime, Dumba with the rocket shot to win it. 3-2, we have Jim Rich standing by. Jim, I think you said 4-1. I said 3-2. Looks like I was right again.
Wow. Why wouldn't you be?
He's a superstar.
Well,
I thought they'd lose.
Yes, I know. You're the one that's really wrong. Leave the star and I had him winning.
But you know how I do this thing, Jim Rich and Superstar. I always say that my favorite teams are probably going to lose. That way, when they do lose, I'm not that disappointed. And if they win, I'm optimistically surprised, and I'm excited about it. So I win either way. You know how it works.
All right. I guess if that's what you want to go with, okay.
Yeah.
You're a winner too, Ben.
But I don't know that I'd go that far. But 8 straight on the road, that's a franchise best for the Minnesota Wild. 8 straight on the road, winning games. They are the hottest team since the All-Star break in the NHL.
It's remarkable how they pull it off. Again, it didn't look good for them, just like in the St. Louis game. But they get to that third period, and all of a sudden they're able to kick it into another gear and to generate the offensive opportunities they need and get the victory done. And I talked to a couple of players today. We were over there. We talked to Dumba and Nino about what's going on. And they just go, we just feel it on the bench. Dumba says, you know, people are going, hey, it's not that bad. We're only down a goal. This isn't a big deal. We've been here before. We've dug ourselves out of this hole. And it just continues to, you know, fester that way in a positive way that they're like, all right, this isn't a big deal. We can figure this out. They've done it. So it's now once you start winning, you got confidence on your side. And so even though things don't look good with that 5-on-3, two-man advantage, and if they gave up another goal there, it would have been pretty difficult to come back in the game. You know, they figure they can weather these storms, turn the game in their favor, and get out of there with a win, and that's what they did.
And I think it was both of you guys that were talking about Dumba's shot and what a rocket launcher it can be, and of course that was the game winner last night. But that kid has had a pretty decent campaign, and I'll ask you the same question, Jim, that I was asked during 4.5 questions. How good can this kid be?
I think he could be for sure a top 4 defenseman on this club. I think he's got all the tools, maybe even more than Suter, just because of that shot. But you look at that game-winning goal, and if you back up and look a little farther than the breakout, it was Suter that got them out of trouble in their own end. The faceoff was won, went in. Suter beat two guys, fought them off, and was able to get the puck up to Dumba, and that started that rush the other way. So, you know, even though Dumba's getting all the credit today, it's Suter that really got the things rolling in that direction. But to answer your question, I think the kid can be, one of the NHL's best. I don't know if he's going to be an all-star, if it could go that far, but just because of all the things that he can do on the ice, both offensively and defensively. Defensively, he's still a bit of a liability, but offensively, he can get a lot of things done.
Talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9 about Matt Dumba, the guy who scored the game winner last night for the Minnesota Wild against the Nashville Predators. He's had a heck of the last 18 months. He's gone from the NHL to the juniors, back to the NHL, then off to the minor leagues. Former first-round draft pick, and despite only playing 46 NHL games so far this year, he ranks 6th among rookies in points, 3rd in goals, 1st in the plus-minus ratings, got a +14. Down the stretch last year, the superstar and I were talking about this earlier today, down the stretch last year for the Minnesota Wild, it was really the young guys that kind of pushed them over the edge. Is Matt Dumba this year's Nino Niederreiter?
He could be. He could very well be. And you know what's even more remarkable about him, there are only 31 players in the NHL younger than him.
Wow.
You know, we've talked about this kid for a couple of years, but you look at the age. I mean, he was a first-round pick, so everybody expected him to step right in. Well, it's a lot harder to step into the NHL as a defenseman than it is as a forward and being a young guy learning the ropes. Because when you're back on the blue line, you make a catastrophic mistake. Everybody sees it because it results in a two-on-one or a breakaway or a goal, you know. But when you're a forward, you can kind of hide because you make a mistake in the offensive zone. Well, normally there's three, four people behind you that can cover up for you. So it's a tougher position to learn at that level. And then when you're an offensive defenseman and that's how you've made your name, you want to take chances. You want to step up on plays. And then you're even exposing yourself more to getting burnt. So there's a lot of things he had to learn to get him to this point. But I think he could be a real force. I mean, you saw him out there killing the five-on-four after the five-on-three because he said, as I was in the penalty box, so I'd better get out there and kill the rest of it off. He goes, so I better have blocked a shot or two on that stretch. And so, you know, I think Mike Yeo is more confident in him, so he's giving him a longer leash right now.
I think you can see that with his confidence that he's found in himself. I think that Yeo is also finding some to be able to allow him more time. But now coming up back here at home, they come back against the Capitals. Ovechkin didn't play last time. Nope. He's figured to be back in the lineup by tomorrow night. What do you think? What are our chances against the Washington Capitals? And then to complete that list of five games, that stretch that we were all talking about a week ago, you know, we got to get through the Blues, and then that we can weigh into how accurate we really were at the time. Where do you see it going with Washington and then St. Louis again?
Yeah, well, I think for sure they're at least going to get three of these. It may be tougher with the Blues on Saturday afternoon. Afternoon games are kind of difficult just for teams because it's out of their routine. And, you know, some teams don't react very well to that, but as far as Washington, looking at them, I mean, Ovechkin makes a big difference. He obviously increases the Capitals' offensive capabilities by a ton, and he's somebody that can basically win a game by himself. It all depends on just how involved he is in things. If you can kind of get him to sleepwalk through things, then it's not so dangerous. But when he's involved and he's running around hitting people and shooting pucks from everywhere, he could be a real pain in the you-know-what. So I think they take care of the Capitals tomorrow, and then, you know, then they look at the Blues and see where they're at and see who comes back healthy for this club. But right now Mike Yeo says he's going with the exact same lineup that he went with last night for tomorrow's game.
He should. It's working. We're talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9 about the Minnesota Wild, and we've been talking about Matt Dumba back and forth. And Jim from Buffalo, not you, Jim Rich, but he says that I might be tooting Dumba's horn just a little bit too much. Jim from Buffalo, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Good. You know, I'm pretty excited. I mean, I am kind of excited about Dumba. I like his hustle. I like his big shot. But, you know, these last three games are pretty big games, and he cost them the game in Anaheim with his turnover in the defensive zone. He also had that turnover behind the net last night that put him down 2-1. So I'm just wondering, you know, if this is a guy, if he's going to be more of a liability in playoff time when these games are a lot closer. But I'm just wondering if there's been any buzz about that. It's easy to forget when the guy scores the game-winning goal, but that was a pretty big mistake last night, too.
Cool, Jim. Thank you. Jim Rich, your comments?
Yeah, no doubt about it, and that's just what we were talking about. When you learn as a young defenseman, up making big mistakes, and then all of a sudden it comes back to haunt you, and everybody sees it. And those are the things that he's got to learn, when to jump in, when to hold back. But Jim from Buffalo is correct. He has made a lot of mistakes, and that's why he's ended up in the press box and sometimes with a trip to Iowa. So it's positive to see him making the strides, but he's right. It has to be consistent all throughout the game, not just splashy offensive plays, because he's got to, you know, play the back end as well.
Jim, we also took a phone call earlier today from one of the fans talking about Suter and that he might be a little overpaid for being what he is and basically being an assist kind of guy and digging things out of the corner and setting people up. An awful lot of money for what he does, for what he adds to this club. Is that accurate, or is that a little over the top?
Well, this team wouldn't be in the playoffs without him. The last couple of years, since he's gotten here, he's solidified that back end. I mean, think if he was out of the lineup. Who would you have? Who would be your top defenseman? Marco Scandella?
Right.
Jared Spurgeon?
Actually, I think the fan was talking about the money he made, though, for the money. I mean, is he overpaid for what he brings to the team?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, you had to pay it to get him.
Mm-hmm.
He was the top free agent. He and Zach were the top two free agents. And he actually took, and granted, it's a boatload of money, but they actually took less so they could both come here together. So I think you look at this signing, and maybe you had to put a little extra on the table to get him both here because Zach was your number one target, but Suter is just as important. And they both said they wanted to play together, so they weren't going to split up. So you had to put the money on the table to make Suter happy so Zach was happy. But you look at that day, that turned the fortune of this franchise. Maybe we can get into the playoffs and, you know, maybe we can upset somebody. So now fans are expecting this team to make a cup run, that they're building towards becoming a Stanley Cup contender year in and year out as these young players develop. And Fletcher now can just make little trades to put pieces in place to, benefit these guys as opposed to having to pull a blockbuster to try to salvage the team. So I think it all changed on that 4th of July when those two came in. All of a sudden now this is looked at as a place where players want to play, as opposed to before, guys would leave and want to go play in some other city.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'll never forget where I was that July 4th when that happened. It, like you said, completely changed the trajectory. Wild back home tomorrow night hosting the Washington Capitals. Jim Rich. Obviously, tomorrow, NCAA March Madness bracket. Today's your last day to fill out your brackets, which you haven't done yet, I don't think. 105theticket.com.
Nope, I told you. I got to wait till the final second. Someone could sprain an ankle getting off a plane tonight.
You have the million-dollar bracket challenge at 105theticket.com. Honest to God, you could win $1 million or $10,000. You can also match up against your favorite ticket personalities. That is, if they ever sign up, Jim Rich. Deadline 11 a.m. tomorrow. Head now to 105theticket.com. We gots to go, though, buddy boy.
All right, hey, here's another attribute Matt Dumba has. He won a bet today, so he won another admission to the Wilds brackets. I told him about yours, by the way, and I think you'll see a few of those guys jumping in that because theirs doesn't pay out $1 million. Anyways, Dumba had Eric Halla pay his entry fee by winning a bet that he could not get dressed in 2 minutes and 15 seconds. And Dumba was able to put on all his hockey gear and get on the ice in 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
These guys are nutbags.
Ridiculous.
Those, I love it.
They're a different breed. They are totally a different breed. I don't know how much the bet was, but it was a good bet. I would like to have been there and actually seen that happen. That's a lot of gear. Jim Rich, thank you for your time, sir.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for having me.
You better believe it.
I appreciate you loaning your airwaves to me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not a problem at all.
Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
We have a little to talk about with Mike Wallace. I don't know. Is he a diva? Is he a purple prince? Is he a jackass? Or is he just a really good receiver that needs a home somewhere, and we happen to be his new home? All that on Radioactive Sports Network.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
This guy is continuously failing drug tests. He has to be suspended because he's a loser. He's just an irresponsible mess.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Damian Williams now in the backfield on second and goal. Off the fake to Williams.
Quite a catch at that, no question. Mike Wallace, he's a talent. He's a very expensive guy to come to your team, I suppose, with baggage, though. I mean, weighing into that now, I mean, we've had a chance to hear from quite a few people in the media, teammates, our assessment of what we just think of him as is, from what we've seen of him on TV and against us last season.
Mm.
is that he's a pretty good player from where we look, and that's our perspective. But we kind of are hearing an awful lot more, not just kind of, we're hearing a lot more about him and why he has, you know, been made available and why he has been passed off a little bit. I mean, he is so fast. He's got good hands, the whole nine yards, but when you start taking yourself off the field and saying, I'm not going in, that is about the worst thing you can possibly do, is to just say, I'm not playing for you. You're dressed and you're on the field and you're supposed to be there ready and waiting for what they want to do with you on game day. He's not going to go into a game. Are you kidding?
But he only did that once, and it was the second half of the last game of the season. And I can understand if he was frustrated. He's not being used in the same exact role.
You can understand that
he wants. I'm not a football player. But at the same time, I understand him being frustrated, not taking himself out of the game. I don't understand that. And we heard what the Pouncey twins said yesterday, but we read what they had said. But here's the exact audio, because Mike Wallace has now come back and said, they're my little bros. They were just kidding. And then Pouncey says today, you're right, I am his little bro, and they took me out of context. So I want you to hear the exact audio. It's 30 seconds of the audio from NBC in Miami. And listen, because, I mean, I didn't edit anything. This is exactly what he said. So tell me if they've taken it out of context.
Okay.
651-989-9105. Call in, edit the conversation about our new Minnesota Viking and our wide receiver, Mike Wallace. Here are the Pouncey twins. This is Marquise Pouncey of the Pouncey twins talking about Wallace and all the hullabaloo that came up yesterday.
First of all, in my opinion, he's a coward. I never want a guy on my team like that, man, to walk out on your band of brothers. Forget the things that don't happen in the game. Say if you don't get the ball or lot, or you mess up and they pull you out. Forget all that, bro. It's about playing for your brothers, man. It's going out there every single day. You're playing with them guys. You're not out there playing with management or the coaches, per se. I mean, in a way you are, but in a way it's more important to play for your brothers, man. And I think that when you walk away from something like that, you just walk away from a friendship, the family that you built with everybody there. And for me personally, I wouldn't want nobody on my team like that.
Does this sound like he was taken out of context? Calling him a coward and saying he doesn't want him on his team? Will he walk out of a friendship? How was he taken out of context?
What part of that? I don't think so, Mike. I mean, at least not from what I just heard. And now Marquise, he plays for Pittsburgh. Is that correct?
That was Marquise I was talking.
Yes. And that's, he played
Marquise
with both.
Plays for Miami. Mike, I believe, plays for Pittsburgh.
Okay. That's the difference. I thought that happened in Pittsburgh. Apparently not. Mm-mm. It was in Miami last year. 13th game or so. I think you said yesterday. And so Mike Pouncey plays for the Steelers. He's played on both those teams. Mike Wallace has. He's played for Pittsburgh and Miami, and now he's here.
On his third team in his mid to upper 20s. I mean, he's still a young player.
I think it's a little bit too, I think it's very plain for us to hear that what he just said. That's a lot. That's a lot for me. Marquise Pouncey and a good football player. Both of the Pounceys are great centers, by the way. As good a center as you'll find in the AFC.
I wanted Mike to be drafted by the Minnesota Vikings when he came out. I don't remember who we took instead of him, but
they're great. They're very good players.
Love the Pouncey brothers. And the knock on the Pouncey brothers, they're friends with Aaron Hernandez, for God's sakes. And they wear Aaron Hernandez type clothing.
Yeah.
Like, to support free Aaron Hernandez and stuff like that.
That's stupid.
But,
I mean, they're all from Miami, so I guess that goes along with the brotherhood of being, you know, a hurricane and from the U.
But the guy murdered people. Murdered people, allegedly.
Yeah, well, he's in jail.
Allegedly.
So a little more than allegedly.
But I think I'm worried
he's
about Mike
prison.
Wallace. I'm worried about Mike Wallace.
I am too, after hearing that.
Coming in here, especially with Cordarrelle Patterson, who seems to be, your term, Jicky Jack. He seems to be impressionable with this kind of the same thing that happened for some that people talk about. I don't necessarily know how deep this was or how true it was, but when Randy Moss came here and Percy Harvin kind of changed a little bit, he kind of believed in himself a little bit more, got a little bit, you know, puffy in the chest. It almost changed him. That's when he started taking shots at Brad Childress, which anybody would, but Leslie Frazier, of all things. And so it worries me about the locker room. Coming in here with the rookie quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, Cordarrelle Patterson, with the Adrian Peterson situation coming back, that's already going to be a distraction as it is. I just hope he doesn't turn into a coward here with the Minnesota Vikings and not play for a half because he's not getting the ball the way he wants to, or he's up in Teddy Bridgewater's face saying, give me the damn ball, or whatever he's going to be doing.
We absolutely need someone to come in here and sort of take charge of becoming that new primary receiver, that go-to guy down the field, to stretch the field and to be dangerous and to be able to catch a football down the field like Randy Moss. Haven't had anything close to him since Randy Moss, no question about that. And by the way, it's pretty hard to replace Randy Moss, but nothing even close And I think that this guy at least can match up fairly closely in terms of speed. Certainly not the hands and the speed, but there are very few Randy Mosses. But this guy, he brings something in here that we haven't had for a long time, and that is just flat out speed. And but the attitude, I guess I'm not surprised with how this guy. There are a lot of receivers. I mean, I'm just going to say it. A lot of receivers have issues like this. I mean, this is notorious for the wide receiver position. Is to act like this, sort of be like this, to whine and cry.
But not everybody's like that.
Well, a lot of them are like that. I'm just saying it is like that. It's a position where it doesn't surprise me that this kind of thing kind of comes up from time to time. We've seen Randy Moss walk off the field in Washington.
Look at the after effects and the reverberations that Minnesota Vikings fans still talk about Randy Moss being this kind of this diva type wide receiver who a completely different guy behind closed scenes. But at the same time, we're running out of time. But I want to get everybody's Minnesota Vikings fans. Your initial reaction, trading for Mike Wallace on Friday, was exciting. Now you're hearing all this baggage come out. Are you worried about what Mike Wallace is going to do here in Winter Park, in the locker room, in practice, if he's going to taint any of our younger guys?
If we don't get him engaged in a game right away, like Randy was, he was never in the game.
But he's not Randy.
Wait. If a receiver doesn't get the ball soon in a game, if he's like this, they tank. They don't want to be out on the field, and they don't run their routes.
Which is a guy I don't want on my team.
And I want the people to comment on that. What happens if he's in a game and that's starting to happen? Or do they think he's the kind of guy that will happen if he's not getting the ball soon enough? Yeah. We want to ask you guys that question. 651-989-9105. Give us a call. Radioactive Sports.
Want to follow your basketball bracket but don't want the boss to catch you watching? Tune in to 105 The Ticket on Thursday and Friday for live coverage of the NCAA tournament.
Tyus Jones on the drive. Left side baseline. All the way to the rim. We're tied at 81.
Shot blocked by Kaminsky inside.
Three in the left corner is good. Aaron Harrison.
We'll have all the office time games starting Thursday at 11 a.m.
The alley-oop and a two-handed stump by Landon Lucas.
The NCAA National Basketball Championships. Hear your brackets bust on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
This is Mike Wallace. Just wanted to let y'all know, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited about the opportunity that Coach Zimmer gave me. Great city, from what I've heard. Great young quarterback. A lot of good players on the team. Young team, I'm looking just to be, an asset to the team. I want to help out and do the best I can.
Well, we'll see how that goes. We asked the callers, what do you expect from Mike Wallace? He wants to do everything he can for the team. Do you buy into that or not? First caller is
Rich from Terrace. Rich?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's going on?
Not a lot. What do you think of this guy?
Hey, you know what? If he's a cancer, they didn't give much for him, Get rid of him. And Zimmer and Turner won't put up with it. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I think you're right. I mean, I don't think these guys are the kind of guys that are going to tolerate a lot from anyone who may come in. And they've had to have had that understanding before they signed him. And let go of Greg Jennings on top of it.
Well, literally, when it comes down to it, $9.9 million against the cap is what Mike Wallace costs. We save $5 million cutting Greg Jennings, but he was worth $11 million, so we have about $5, $6 million in dead money. Literally, that I'd rather have Greg Jennings for the $11 million than pay $16 million with the dead money for Mike Wallace, and a guy that said he didn't want to sign with the Minnesota Vikings 2 years ago when we signed Greg Jennings instead because it wasn't warm enough here. He'd rather have palm trees than trees with no leaves on it.
Well, he's been told that it's a nice city. Yeah. He just said, I've been told it's a nice city.
Yeah.
It is, Mike. Next caller.
Yeah, Dan from Eden Prairie about Mike Wallace and the Minnesota Vikings. What's up, Dan? You're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Real good.
Good. Hey, yeah, so I was listening to Mike Wallace and his little excerpt that he had on there. He's saying the right things to win the fans over, that's for sure. Especially when he came out and said that he didn't want to play in Minnesota because it was cold. But I'll be honest with you, I think he's going to come to play. I mean, everyone knows Mike Wallace. It's Mike Wallace of Pittsburgh, of the Pro Bowl receiver when he had Ben Roethlisberger. He came to Miami, didn't really come out to play because they didn't really insert him into the offense right away. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were a big focus on the run with Sean Moreno. But, I mean, I think he's going to come play. I mean, and there's another big thing. They got Teddy Bridgewater now. I mean, that's another reason why I'm sure he's probably excited to come play in Minnesota because Bridgewater's, got the arm. He's got hopefully, you know, if once we figure out this run game system, he'd be quite the number one receiver. And I think he's going to come to play because he's, you know, got a chip on his shoulder. Everyone thinks he's washed up. He's not worth the money. Well, I mean,
we'll see, won't we?
He still has it.
Thank you very much. We got time for one more caller. Let's hit that one up real quick.
Okay, let's go.
I agree. I think he may at least want to come and play for 1 year for the money, and we'll see what his attitude really is. He didn't convince me in that excerpt that you played that he was really into it.
No, I think he was just talking.
Okay.
Two callers. You talk too much. Two callers. Just kidding.
Right.
Wes from Plymouth. You're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, happy hump day, guys.
You too, buddy.
You think it ain't?
It is. So, you know what? I'm kind of on the heels of what everyone else has said, but I think Coach Zimmer, if you look at his comments about what he said about Patterson and how he just wasn't really getting it, and he doesn't have any soft edges to him, I think that's really going to come through. I think Vikings fans have a lot to be excited about. I really do think this is going to be his best year as a pro, Wallace's. So I think we have a lot to look forward to.
Doesn't worry you, Wes, at all that he's coming with baggage at the Pouncey guys who are, you know, kind of, you know, I don't want to say the thug word, but they've got baggage of their own, but they're saying that he's a coward and they were once friends with him. And now that they were saying that they were taken out of context because Mike Wallace called him back and said, hey, what are you doing in the media telling them that I'm a coward and this and that? That doesn't worry you about a possible cancer in the locker room?
It doesn't worry me because if I look at what Zimmer has done, you really have to put your cards in his basket and realize that he's going to rectify that. I mean, as a fan, do I prefer to hear that kind of stuff coming in? No. I mean, you can just hear Rick Spielman whispering in somebody's ear, don't talk about that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think moving forward, I think that's going to be the end of it.
Thank you, sir. A nice point. Really good point. And I would share the same thing. Zimmer and Spielman. But mostly Zimmerman and Norv Turner will say, look, this isn't going to work. We had our little talk with you beforehand. We did get rid of Greg Jennings to bring you in here. You're either going to play this part, the part that we asked you to play, that probably no other team in the NFL is going to be willing to put up with you and your price tag. You were going to be cut. They had an understanding with this guy, and I don't think Zimmer's going to put up with it. I know he won't.
That's why I have a feeling that it's going to be because the Miami Dolphins are paying all of his dead money.
Dead money, yeah.
And so that's why he's coming a little bit cheaper to the Minnesota Vikings, and that's why they can get rid of him so easily. And I think I'm predicting a one-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, he's got two more years after this next season, so basically a three-year deal, but I just don't see him on the Minnesota Vikings after this upcoming year. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm worried.
I think he's a talent. I don't know. The rest of it doesn't help my feeling towards him, but I know he's ultra fast and he can stretch the field. We will stretch the field a little more, too. And we're going to come back and talk with Colt Omaha. That's one of the writers, and we always have men from 105 The Ticket, and we have Sam Ekstrom up next from Cold Omaha to talk about the March Madness that it is and how he's looked at it and how you should look at it, too, and getting ready and preparing yourself for 4 days of basketball. Come on back.
Streaming worldwide at 105theticket.com. The high-flying Timberwolves are in town. Stop by Hubert's and join superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson, broadcasting live before every Wednesday home game.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will have Timberwolves players and coaches on the air, as well as our awesome ticket girl sampling North Lake beer.
Plus, Hubert's will have adult root beer floats made with Kilbrew root beer and North Lake beer on tap.
Wolves Wednesday, presented by North Lakes Brewing and Kilbrew root beer. Live from Hubert's, starting at 4 before every Wednesday Wolves home game on Sports Radio. 105 The Ticket. 105 The Ticket. Available on iHeartRadio.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
And I'm putting Kentucky in there.
Kentucky obviously has as good of a chance as any team. They are prohibitive favorites, and for good reason.
I couldn't agree with them more. I couldn't agree with the president of the United States.
You know what they're calling it? Baracketology.
Baracketology.
Funny?
That's funny. It's perfect.
And by the way, today is the last day to sign up for our 105 The Ticket Bracket Challenge. $1 million Bracket Challenge. Go to 105theticket.com. Don't miss your chance to win $1 million or several $10,000 prizes. You can see how you'll match up with your favorite ticket personalities, the superstar Mike Morris, Sam Ekstrom, our guest here from Cold Omaha, and the president of the United States. Our boss put the president's choices in. The president is called POTS, POTUS. President of the United States, 105. So it'll be great. Deadline tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Head to 105theticket.com right now. We'd love to play for you. So far, I think we have 90 to 100 people in our bracket.
Nice.
Hop on in there, and that way you can smack talk us, because we're going to smack talk each other like crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's predetermined. Barack Obama, though, he has been right on two occasions in his seven-year tenure of picking these.
Picking the winners?
Two.
The championship
winners.
He
had two of them.
Yeah. He sure went out on a limb this time, didn't he?
Well, yeah. Everybody's going out on a limb. Not. But, I mean, yeah, how can you root against Kentucky? We've talked to several people, and including one of you people, the Smarty Pants, Amelia Reno, who covers the Minnesota Golden Gophers. You do, too, for the 105 The Ticket in Cold Omaha. And Kentucky, I mean, you just can't root against them. I mean, the only team in their bracket that I could see them coming up against that they could lose would be Notre Dame. I don't know. Wisconsin,
well,
Arizona.
So
the path is much easier.
Yeah. Kansas has an injured big man. You've got Notre Dame, who's probably the biggest threat. Maryland is a pretty flawed team. West Virginia is a flawed team. They're not going to get any challenge from the 8-9 game. Clean path to the Final Four.
The question, though, Sam Ekstrom, how do you get ready to watch all this basketball? I mean, how do you prepare yourself?
Vasectomy
what
time!
What do you do? You have to park somewhere in a room with nobody bothering you, with enough beer to get through four days of basketball, back-to-back basketball games.
And we can do it now, so we can get four different screens of games going, because we have all the technology. We've got TVs, laptops, tablets, cell phones, and there's apps.
Xbox.
There's apps.
But
what
Why do you even need to do that when CBS is shooting back and forth to all the games and really?
Well, watch them real time, all at the same time.
Let's just be honest, though. NCAA March Madness bracket time or tournament time, the best thing to get your games is to listen to the radio. And we've got all the games tomorrow.
That's right.
And Friday, starting at, I want to say, 11 a.m. right here on 105 The Ticket. We'll go back and forth. 11 a.m., all the games, New Mexico, Kansas, Georgia, Michigan State. I mean, we could run down. That's Friday. Those are Friday's games. But, second round, all morning, all day, up until our show, starting at 11 a.m. right here on 105 The Ticket. So listen.
I miss the days when... when CBS would rapid fire go back from game to game to game to game. And now it's on all the cable channels, so you can watch them all in their entirety. But you kind of lose some of that fun where you're just watching the scoreboard. CBS is taking you through it. That was really the thrill of March Madness. And it's good now, too. You can watch every second of every single game like we tend to do in the sports radio business. But, yeah, you know, it takes a lot of preparation to get ready for a four-day spurt of basketball. So I think you can't burn yourself out too fast, superstar. You know, you don't fill out 18 different brackets.
I've done three.
Don't overexpose yourself to SportsCenter. You know, don't go through these fitful, sleepless nights wondering about your 8-9 seed. Take your time. Fill it out Wednesday or Thursday. You know, get the information. Watch the first four play-in games, and then just have fun with it.
Yep. I mean, I've got $1 million at stake here, though, Sam. I mean, I'm losing sleep as we speak right now, and I would normally be asleep right now on the show. That was a joke. Trust me, Ben.
You're a son of a gun.
You know
aren't
what?
You?
Wow. But I would say that find Kevin Harlan. Whatever game he's doing, watch that game. You want to have the most fun?
A guy that talks like this.
He's hanging from the noodle.
Vitale, baby.
Hanging from the rim like a wet noodle.
Thank goodness that Vitale is not in the CBS crew, so he doesn't have to do any of the March Madness. He drives me nuts.
I'm going
to
put my tongue in Ashley Judd's mouth, baby. I'm going to play Tonsilhawk, baby. Tonsilhawk-y.
Kevin Harlan, the best voice in basketball in the country, hands down. Really?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Jim Nance is so much better.
Nance is a consummate professional, but Harlan just brings a new level of energy.
Harlan and Marv Albert, you got to be telling me, they talk like that in real life? There's no way. In radio and in media,
we've talked with Kevin on this very show. He talks like that.
Well, he talks like that on the phone. We work with a bunch of radio people, and as soon as the microphone comes on or as soon as they get on their telephone, their voice changes completely. And so Kevin Harlan, I think, I don't know, they call it puking. I have a hard time listening to Kevin Harlan or Marv Albert.
Really?
Or Albert's son. What's his nuts name?
Kenny Albert.
He does it. It's all fake voices. It's all fake.
But
I think it's the best voice you can put on when you're that excited. I think that's their excited voice and their professional voice.
I mean, we would be horrified. I mean, the listeners would be horrified to hear your real voice, Ben Holson. Well, I mean, does Kevin Harlan want to reveal that secret to the whole nation? Probably not.
See, that's what it is.
He lets
his
guard down.
How would you possibly go on the air like that? Don't do that. Only off the air. The